Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and I truly welcome you tonight. We've got a good show lined up for you. Very excited about the Word of Yahweh. And we hope that we have a program that will bless you and inspire you to keep on keeping on. Tonight's title of the message will be called In the Last Days. We're going to review some scriptures and give you some pointers, we believe, that will point you toward and maybe give you conviction for that we are in the beginning of the end times of the last day. So we think that we have a lot of good information for you. Stay tuned. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on. Now, let me give you information concerning the Shepherd's Call. You can contact the Shepherd's Call simply by writing this telephone number down, and we will be available immediately after the broadcast to take your call. That is area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, just simply email Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, lowercase letters, Buddy, at www.gap.net. That's all the information that you'll need to email us if you'd like to send us an email or to communicate with us in the express way of the email. Also, my mailing address, if you'd like to contact the show and if you'd like to request information, what the show is all about here on WWCR, then we will be glad to give you our mailing address, which is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, let me spell that for you. That's two words. N-E-W, T as in tiger, A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. That's 37824. Now, we'd like to also inform you, if you're a regular WWCR listener, that we will be on tonight on WWCR at 3.210 at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend and tune in tonight for the second hour beginning at 10 p.m. Central Time on 3.210 WWCR, the worldwide leader in shortwave. So we're glad to be aboard with you tonight. Now, let's get into the message here as we're going to begin in the book of Genesis, and we're going to the 49th chapter in the first verse. Jacob called his sons and said, I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Now, let me emphasize that this is the prophetic word of a very, very well-gifted, strong, called, chosen, coveted man, Jacob. And he is beginning to tell his sons, and he actually informs all 12 of his sons what will befall them or what will happen to them in the last days. Now, we know by the history, as we look at the Caucasian race, that the sons of Jacob, we're talking about particularly now at this point, in 721 B.C., that the 10 northern tribe kingdom of Israel was exiled out of the land of Palestine into the Assyrian captivity. There they were befriended by the Assyrians and later let go, and they crossed into Europe through the Caucasus Mountains and into that area, and they migrated, if you will, western, a western trek, finally until from the into the British Isles, and the word British means a covenanted people, the sons of Isaac. And we have a rich heritage history all the way up into the northern community of Denmark, where the tribe of Dan, where that they were positioned, if you will, in Numbers chapter 2, they were told expressively where to encamp by the instructions that Yahweh gave Moses. Now, this is very important. If you look at the encampment in Numbers chapter 2, we have an east-west-north-south line drawn, if you will, in what we call the covenant circle. And in this covenant circle, we had Judah to the east. Judah remained, if you will, actually 165 years after the fact that the northern tribes were exiled, then Judah and Benjamin, they were exiled 165 years later in 586, beginning thereabout, and they were exiled over to Babylon. And therefore, a period of 70 years, they themselves were in exile. Now, we find out in the book of Jeremiah that these particular captives, we're talking about Judah, the sons of Judah, and the tribe of Benjamin that was actually incorporated into the larger house of Judah, they were then permitted to, if you will, the good figs. Jeremiah was prophesying about the good figs and the bad figs. The good figs were permitted to, if you will, follow the western trek of the 10 northern kingdom tribes through the Caucasus Mountain, and they themselves, the biggest majority of the tribe of Judah, came west. Now, let's go back to the sacred covenant circle in Numbers chapter 2 for just a moment, and let us pick up the position in Judah in the east. We have Dan in the north. We have Reuben in the south, and we have Ephraim, Joseph, in the west. Well, we just happen to know that the tribe of Ephraim, Joseph, is the coveted birthright inherited tribe. And ladies and gentlemen, the biggest bulk of Israel, the 12 tribes, remember Jacob said, I will tell you that which will befall you in the last days. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 49, and let's look at a scripture there that is very, very interesting, if you will, in the scriptures that it talks about the prophetic utterance of Jacob as he's given the call for the sons of Israel in the last days. Now, I believe that the last day started 2,000 years ago, because there is a scripture, it says, in the Bible, that in the last days, this is in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, when the Son came, remember in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Literally, purely. And this is amazing how that God, who is a spirit, according to John 4:24, became, if you will, incarnated into a body of flesh and called himself the Son of Man. He was born of a woman, but the eternal spirit was his father, or produced this amazing man that walked 2,000 years ago, and it is spoken by in Hebrews by Paul, saying that in the last days God will speak unto us by his Son. Now notice this, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. The Bible said in the last days that men shall be lovers of their own self, proud, blasphemers, boasters, if you will, and things of this nature. Well, we are in those days. Micah 4 and 1 said, in the last days it shall come to pass that in the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall he establish in the top of the mountains the kingdom of Yah. Now notice, ladies and gentlemen, that we know that the British crown, we believe that that was Manasseh, the elder son, because he's the older, and Great Britain became a commonwealth, and ladies and gentlemen, it became the most powerful nation on the earth in the latter days. Well, we do know that from the British Isles came the pilgrims. These were sons, we believe, of Ephraim, Jacob, Joseph. They were hunting or searching for a land of promise of milk and honey. And when they came to this wonderful country, USA, we find the scriptures tells us that they would come never, never, and we repeat this, never to be removed anymore. And that they would become a mighty nation. This is the covenant promise that Yahweh gave to the sons of Joseph. Now, notice as we go over to the 22nd verse of Genesis chapter 49, and we're going to start in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know that Joseph began to multiply, Ephraim. This is a promised, and we know that the United States of America in covenant promise became the land of milk and honey. And that we have now become the most mightiest of all nations in the history of the world, even probably stronger than the first kingdom of Babylon, and the Bible speaks of four, and we know that Nebuchadnezzar was the first kingdom spoken of. Then we had the Medo-Persian Empire, and then we had what is called the Grecian Empire, and then finally, we have the Roman Empire, and these are the four evil empires that would rise up in opposition or to contrast the sons of light with the sons of darkness. Now, we have right now up on our earth a possibility that a new world order will emerge in the last days and will cause everyone upon the earth to wonder or to worship. This is forced worship. And to wonder after the beast. Now, know that we have talked about in James chapter 5, verse 3. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now, let me give you an astounding statistic that you might be interested in to hear. That 3% of the world's population hold 97% of the wealth of the earth. Now, let me repeat that for the shock of the impact that you probably thought that it was a little bit more equally distributed among the peoples of the earth, but not so. Let me repeat, 3% of the world's population control 97% of the wealth of this world. James speaking in respect, knowing that that day would come in the last days, in 5 and 3 said, you have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now, why would that happen? Because the Bible said, in the time of trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, we are nearing the time of trouble. Everybody has got their eyes pinned on the Middle East, where they believe that the trouble or the end time signals will happen. Keep your eye on America, for the Bible says, when we are at peace, and when they say peace, then cometh sudden destruction. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call, and I'm predicting to you tonight and prophesying that America and the destiny of America lays in covenant principle with the Father above, and that this nation itself will, in fact, be the nation that will bring about. Now we're talking about the end time scenario. Listen as I read verse 23. The archers. Now if Joseph is a fruitful bough and his branches run over a wall, and that we migrated out of the ten tribes, and Joseph, Ephraim, was particularly known as the head of the ten tribes of Israel. And so then, ladies and gentlemen, the Jews have the distinction of being God's chosen people. That's not so, necessarily. You see, there's 12 tribes that make up Israel. And the Jews are only one of the tribes that we're talking about. Where are the other 10 tribes that were lost? We're talking about the 10 tribes that came west. Now, if you look on the Divine Covenant Circle, you'll find that Joseph and his sons were positioned in the west. Well, the sun rises in the east where Judah was encamped in the encampment. But notice that is the beginning of the adventures of Israel. But in the last days, the sun will set in the west, or the glory of this house shall be greater than the former, and the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. And ladies and gentlemen, there is exciting times coming, although that there's going to be times of trouble, because the Bible said when you would do good, evil is always present. The archers in verse 23, talking about Joseph and his sons, have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. We were driven by force. We were driven by desire. We were driven by divine covenant to leave the British Isles as a people. And we begin to come to America, and we established and carved this great country out of the wilderness, and we established it as Yahweh's place. And if you look at the word New Jerusalem, not Old Jerusalem, most people have their eyes on Old Jerusalem. Keep your eye on the promised covenant of New Jerusalem. Now, let's spell the word. If you take away the J, which there was no J's in the Hebrew language, then it would start with a Y. It's a city that is called by the great name of the King. Now, the highest mountain chain just happens to be in the earth, the Himalaya. And the tallest tree, ladies and gentlemen, is the Sequoia. These are glory names, if you will, of honor that the ancients gave these high, majestic mountains and this high, majestic tree to honor the name of Yahweh. Now, in Psalms 68:4, remember, there's no J's in the Hebrew, none in the Greek, and none in the English until 1702. So it couldn't have been talking about when it says, praise the name in the later English Bibles, praise the name of Jah, J-A-H. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the most coveted, what is the most precious, what is the most honorable name of praise, that the highest name of praise that we can give our Creator? Hallelujah, which means praise be to Yah. So the sons of Jacob Israel had a father, and his name was Yahweh. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, this great name became the coveted name for Jacob Israel. And then men in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 24, men begin to call upon the great name of the King. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a name that is above every name. Psalm 68:4 said, praise him by his name, Yah. Well, what about the great, majestic, magnificent, magnanimous name of Yah? It is the highest name in the universe. At the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Notice verse 24 of the prophetic utterance of the last day prophecies for Joseph. But his bow abode in strength. Ladies and gentlemen, the most powerful nation ever known since we have been keeping history, perhaps maybe pre-flood, maybe there was a nation that was mighty, because the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. We're going right back down the avenue of where the past has already been. But his bow abode in strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, here is a prophetic utterance that the prophet Jacob gave about his son Joseph. Remember, Joseph was the preferred son, and yet all of the other brothers hated or despised him or were jealous and actually trying to evict him even to the threat of killing him, and finally settled for selling him. But neighbors, let me assure you that at the darkest hour in the land of Palestine, when Jacob and his sons were hungry, there was a young man by the name of Joseph, and he was growing corn for the salvation of his family. And I'll assure you tonight that there are sons of Joseph, and they are beginning to rise up in the earth, particularly in the Western nation of America. J-E-R, or Y-E-R, Jerusalem, and right in the middle of the name Jerusalem is embedded a code of the USA, meaning that the Father wanted to give you the code that the New Jerusalem, not the old, because he said they would never return there. And so then the promised covenant is to not the Jews, but to Joseph, who has the birthright. Now, this is probably fascinating, maybe the first time you've ever heard a preacher say that the Jews are not God's chosen people. And in reality, they're not. Who is? The white Western European descendants of Jacob, who brought themselves from the land of Assyria with the covenant promise into the British Isles, and they become the covenant people, often referring to themselves as the sons of Isaac, the British, the sons of Ish. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are rich in heritage, and we are the most mightiest nation. We are the strong ones of Yosef. And verse 25, even by the God of the Father who shall help you, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep. We have actually mined the oceans for oil and for minerals and for the foods that lie under it. Blessings of the breast and of the womb. We became the most populous Western nation to bear the heritage marks of Jacob Israel. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we far exceed the British Commonwealth, which is now in decline. They shall decrease, but Yahweh said, the sons of Joseph, the covenant people, shall increase. And they shall become strong, and out of this promise came the stone shepherd. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Buddy, in the future messages that I will be bringing to you on WWCR, this message will be for the express purpose of telling you that the Messiah was not from the tribe of Judah, that he was actually himself a descendant of the sons of Joseph, or Joseph, as he is known in English. And this is astounding information. This is earth-shaking to a lot of people that always thought that our Messiah was from the tribe of Judah. He was not. He was from the tribe of Joseph, the birthright tribe, and the prophecies of verse 24, from Joseph shall come the shepherd, the stone of Israel. We're talking about the last days, and in the last days, revelation shall come, and revelations shall be brought forth to the sons of Israel. Now, let's go to Romans, if you will, chapter 11. And let us read in chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 25. Now, you've probably been told by your local pastor that the Jews are God's chosen people, and God blinded them to come to the Gentiles, which is us. Well, that's not correct. That is in an era of understanding or for tradition. Let me show you what the Bible said. For I would not, brethren, verse 25 of Romans 11, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to it. Now, that is not the Jews. Blindness has happened to Israel. See, it's really the reverse of what we call the bell box preachers, as they preach a message of tradition, and actually they've been deceived, and then they go forth to deceive and would deceive the very elect if it was possible. So blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, who's Israel? That is the 10 northern tribes that will wander for approximately 2,520 years in total blindness, not knowing their heritage, not knowing their identity. But in the last days, the Bible says that there shall come, in verse 26, there shall come a deliverer out of Zion and shall turn Israel away from ungodliness from Jacob. For this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very important prophetic information that we're talking about in the last days. Now, let's look at Daniel chapter 8 and verse 7. Verse 17, O son of man, talking to Daniel, for at the time of the end shall be the vision, and the vision will deal mainly with the time just prior to the tribulation through Armageddon. Daniel 8:19. Listen as I read. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. And this vision is dealing primarily and mainly with the time, again, just prior to what we describe in the Bible as the time of tribulation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the information concerning the great, what is known as the great tribulation. Have you ever read in the Bible about the time of tribulation, a time of trouble such as the world has never known? As we will in the second half of the show tonight, we will be going into the book of Matthew chapter 24 to conclude tonight's message in the last days. But I want you, before we go to break, I want you to go down to the book of Jeremiah chapter 30, and I will read verse 7. Alas for that day, it is great, so that there shall be not a day likened unto it. It shall even be the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, let me repeat that. The time of Jacob's trouble will be in the last days. Now, how do we know that we're in the last days? Because the Bible said you will see certain signs in certain conditions. And when you see these signs, begin to look up. Now, let me completely read verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 of Jeremiah chapter 30. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Now, what is this mighty yoke that has been put upon Jacob's neck? Or the seed of Jacob in this case. It is the yoke of ignorance, it is the yoke of fear, and the yoke of superstition, and if you will, completely the yoke of blindness. Now this yoke must be removed. We must, as a Western European nation of people, regain our eyesight and regain our knowledge of our heritage and our true identity. And in that sense, the prophets shall come in the last days, and there shall be poured out upon all the nations, that is the nation of Jacob Israel, the sons of Ish, if you will. They shall serve Yahweh their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you. I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, we are, as I have said, we are the birthright nation of the blessing pact of Jacob Israel. We are the sons of Ephraim Joseph. We are covenant with a covenant, and Yahweh will not forget his covenant, because in the last days of Jacob's trouble, it will come to pass that Yahweh, out of the darkness of this hour, of this great nation here, in the covenant shall be performed and fulfilled. Now, verse 11, and then we will leave Jeremiah and go to the text in the New Parchment in just a moment. Verse 11 says, for Yahweh said, I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered you, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct you in measure, and will not leave you together, altogether, unpunished. Praise Yahweh. Now, notice this, as we leave there over to what is known as the 22nd verse of the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. Listen as I read. You, saith Yahweh, talking to Israel, his people, his covenant people, his purpose people, wherever they are in the earth, and it's not the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. There's no promise to the tribe of Judah as a birthright. They're just one of the 12 tribes. Now we have 13 if we count the two sons that Jacob adopted, and Ephraim got a double portion, and out of him comes the promise that Joseph Ephraim shall be the birthright possessor, not Judah. I know this is earth-shaking, but in the future times that we teach, we will bring you conclusive, definite proof that Christ and David both came from the tribe of Joseph, not Judah. And that will change the whole complexion of the thinking apparatus of tradition that we've been made to believe. And that's why that blindness has been rubbed into the eyes purposely, that we've been blinded for over 2,000 years, and now the time of blindness is at an end. We shall begin to retain our sight, and Yahweh shall send Joseph Ephraim prophets to minister the holy truth in the last days. Yahweh's last days prophet shall appear and will begin to preach the everlasting gospel and the kingdom principles to a people that is called by the wonderful, magnificent, magnanimous, glorious, all-powerful, holy, and righteous name of Yahweh. And it shall be that you shall be my people, verse 22, and I will be your God, or your Elohim, as it says in the Hebrew. Behold, a whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury. A continuing whirlwind, it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. Then the fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he hath done it, and until he hath performed the intents of his heart. And in the latter days, or in the latter years, in this day you shall consider it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're down at the bottom of the hour. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call, and we're talking about the last days. Now, let me tell you something about my sponsor tonight. I'm sponsored by Miracle 2. This is a soap that was, if you will, it was conceived in the spirit world and given to a man in Louisiana, Clayton Chatterton. And he was awakened one night, and he saw a hand writing upon his wall. Just as Daniel's prophecy of the handwriting of Belshazzar, when he saw the handwriting, Clayton Chatterton saw the writing upon the wall, and he woke his wife up. She couldn't read it or couldn't see it. He's the only one that could see it. But he dictated to her, and she wrote the formula down, and the next day he put this wonderful formula together and called it Miracle 2. Now, what does Miracle 2 do? It is a product that is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, we use it, and we don't sell anything, or we don't advertise anything that we first don't try and use and prove. The Bible said to prove all things. It is good for dry skin. It is good for flea blisters. It is good for age spots, allergies, Alzheimer's, athlete's foot, arthritis. You can use it as a bath and a shower soap. You can actually replace all of the harsh chemicals in your home with Miracle 2. Now, the most exciting part about Miracle 2 is that later, Clayton received a formula on how to take the formula that he was given and divide it and make a internal neutralizer. Now, this neutralizer works on God's simple law of physics. And, if you will, it works perfectly. What it does, it restores, or it brings back into a balance in your body the pH balance that is very needful. It will correct, if you will, the acidic over, most of us are overly acidic, and in this case, it really balances your pH. So that in itself is a miracle, and it's called a Miracle Dew. Now, you can do light cleaning, medium cleaning, and you can do heavy cleaning, such as carports. It will even break down crazy glue. You can use it as a wax stripper. You can wash your car. It's good on white walls and things of this nature. And you can use the neutralizer in following the directions for the purposes that I said. Now, if you'd like information on Miracle Dew, let me give you a toll-free number. Here, I'll give you two. If you are actually, if you're east of the Mississippi River, you could use this number. You can use either one that we are going to give you here, but use this number if you're east of the Mississippi, 1-888-281-7320, or you can call, if you're west of the Mississippi, 1-877-289-7439. That's Miracle Dew, and it is our sponsor tonight for the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. Now, let's go into, if you will, we're going to leave that scripture, and I'd like to go over to the book, if you will, of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, if you will, and let's look at a portion of scripture in the book of Ezekiel, and we're going actually over to the 38th chapter, and we're talking about the latter years. I want to show you what I believe is the prophetic word, and the prophecies is new. Notice this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in threat. There's wars and rumors of wars all over the nation. These are signs indicating that we are nearing the days that we call the last days. But we believe that there is going to be a great outpouring. There's going to be a Holy Ghost revival all over the world, for that matter. And Jacob Israel, the sons, the lost sons and daughters, will be brought forth in revelation form, and they will begin to seek the God of their fathers. Notice as we read here in verse 8, after many days, 2,520 years of prophetic days of the last days, says, after many days, you shall be visited. Now, what does that mean? That means a great outpouring or a great Holy Ghost revival of the end time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what is this called? It says the gospel, this gospel must be first preached into all the world, and then shall the end come. Well, let's look at the gospel of Catholicism, and if you will, denominationalism or Protestant, or let's look at all the major religions, be it Jewish, Christian, or Islam. It has filled the earth, and it's been preached, and the earth has been saturated from pillar to post with these gospels, and the end hadn't come. But there is a truth gospel that shall come in the last days. This will be the greatest revival. It will be greater than the former. Remember the apostolic age of the fathers where they went forth preaching and declaring the great name of Yahweh, for he said in the last days that I will declare my name throughout the whole earth. Now, why would he want to do that? Because he wants to make his name known. And the Bible says, listen, as we look at verse 4 of Daniel chapter 12, but thou, Daniel, shut up or close up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Now, at the time of the end, there shall come ministers of flame and fire, and they will open up the things that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world. They shall prophesy and change a people overnight that will raise up out of the darkness or the obscure darkness of blindness, and sight will be given to them, and the dry bones, as it is spoken of in the book of Ezekiel, shall become a great mighty army of spirit beings that will walk upon the earth in the last days. In the latter years, you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been made waste. Verse 9. You shall ascend and come like a storm. Verse 16 of Ezekiel 38. And thou shalt come up against my people, Israel. It's not come up against my people, the Jews. That's not what it says. You see, Israel is a 13-nation tribe, and they're scattered throughout the whole earth. The prophecies for the birthright people are distinctively given to Joseph and not the Jews. And so then, ladies and gentlemen, all that we've heard in the past and the traditions of the bell box preachers and the false prophets have taught that the Jews are God's chosen people, that is not necessarily correct. Yahweh's people are a people, purpose, and covenant, and we're talking about the people Israel. Thou shalt come against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States is now becoming susceptible to external powers of the United Nations and forces that we've helped create a monster that will come back and bite the hand that feeds it. We are predicting that we are in for some perilous times and that this is coming to the people of Jacob Israel, namely the United States and Great Britain, the peoples of the covenant of Manasseh Ephraim. Now, in the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we will then conclude our old parchment scriptures for you as we go into the book of the new parchment, let me read 39 verse 7. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The Bible says the righteous shall run into it and be saved. Now, let me repeat that. You see, the name of Yahweh was actually taken or translated out of the Bible in the early text. They substituted the YHVH, which is what we call in the Greek the tetragrammaton. They have substituted the divine covenant name of the house of Israel. We have forgotten the name of Yahweh, and they have inserted the word Lord. Everywhere that you see capitalization in your English-speaking or English-reading Bibles, it is a capitalization, L-O-R-D, and it's a substitute for Y-H-V-H. Why did they take it out? Why did they do away with it? Well, then it is for the express purpose of causing the people of Israel who were blind to forget the divine covenant name of their father. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, when you pray, pray like unto this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, if you are saying Father, that's a title. Name is descriptive. But the name of Yahweh, which has been, if you will, covered up or taken out purposefully, we believe, notice in verse 7 again, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. Why have they polluted his name? In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 25 and 26, it talks about that very thing, that they would actually take his name out and use a substitute. Let's read verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of their own deceit, of their own heart, which think to cause my people. Now, who is his people? Israel. Not necessarily the tribe of Judah. See, Judah is just one tribe, and that would leave 12 other tribes at, if you will, scattered in the earth. I will cause my people, they will cause my people, Israel, to forget my name by their dreams. And they shall forget my name for Baal. If you will use a good concordance or a dictionary, such as the Unger's, you will find out that the word Baal is in reference to L-O-R-D, or Lord. So then, we have deceit here, even in the Bibles that we read. Why? Because the Bible said in the last days that perilous times will come. They will take his name out and replace it, and then you will be blinded by, and it's a covenant principle. Yahweh did it purposely, that the times might be fulfilled for the Gentiles, for the fourth kingdom of Rome to express itself in its finality. The time is coming that that kingdom will fall, and then the kingdom of Yahweh that Daniel saw, hewed out of the mountains, praise the mighty name of Yahweh, without hands, this little stone. Now, what is the stone? Acts 4:11 and 12 said, there is none other name given. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders. Now the builders are the translators, and in this sense, the translators, as they have removed all of the veiled references to his name, they veiled them with the substitutes of Lord and God and such as that. Why have they done that? Because the Bible said they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I am against them that prophesy lies in my name, saith Yahweh, causing my people to forget my name as their fathers have. See, this has happened before. Our fathers went a-whoring after Baal. And it is in the last days we have called upon every name but Yahweh. But in the last days we shall return to the old path. We shall begin to call upon Yahweh with one consent, and Yahweh will hear the cry of his people. Notice in the 23rd chapter where we're at in Jeremiah, let me return to the 6th verse. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Now, why did he talk about the two houses here? You see, there's the house of Judah, and there is the house of Israel. The house of Judah was one tribe. It was a large tribe, but the house of Israel was the 10 northern tribes. Benjamin was positioned, if you will, in the territorial of the 15th chapter of the book of Joshua through the 18th chapter. It gives you the territorial inheritance of the sons of Jacob. Judah being the son that inherited, if you will, in the southern region. And the 10 northern, or the 11 northern tribes, if you will, including Benjamin, they inherited the northern province of Galilee. And from Galilee, the Bible says, would come a Savior, a Redeemer, a great prophet, like Moses predicted. Him, in the last days, God shall send a prophet, a great one, and in the last days, God has spoken to us by his son. His son was out of the tribe of Ephraim, Joseph, and he was not a Jew, as we have been led to believe. We can prove this in the scriptures and in time to come. You stay tuned to the Shepherd's Call. Don't miss one exciting episode. We'll be on every night on WWCR at 12.160 at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern. That will be 3 o'clock in your Pacific time. So make a note of this and tune in as we go into these great mysteries. In the last days, we predict that God is raising up a people that will declare his name throughout the earth. And, ladies and gentlemen, tonight you can listen to the Shepherd's Call again on WWCR on 3.210 at 11 Eastern. That would be 10 Central. And if you'd like to tune in tonight for that show, well, then just tune us in, and we will be glad to extend our maiden voyage. It's going to be actually our first broadcast on 3.210. So we're launching our maiden voyage. We'll tell you what the Pastor Buddy's all about and what the Shepherd's Call is all about, and that we are the voice of one of the prophets of Yahweh in the last days, calling forth the sheep. And the Bible said, my sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, let's go into, quickly, as we have just a couple of minutes left for our closing thought in the book of Matthew. As we go into the book of Matthew, we are going to read in the scriptures here in chapter 7. And I'm going to start at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the prophets of Baal, these are the Lord prophets of Baal. They are like foxes on the desert. They're everywhere. They're barking, but they bark in vain. They're raving wolves. Why? Because they are hungry for souls, and they are dressed in sheep's clothing. The Bible said, for you to examine a man, to see if he's in the faith. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire, whereby you shall know them by their fruits. Now, we're talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 10 tells you expressively, let me show you the distinction here of the book of Matthew and give you something to think about as you read and study the message tonight that Pastor Buddy has given you of the journeys of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice in verse 5, these 12, the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, Jesus in the English version, sent forth and commanded them, the 12 apostles, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Now listen to me, I'll show you that Gentiles and the lost sheep are not the same. We have been led to believe that we are Gentiles and that the Jews are the lost sheep. That's not true. Listen to me. Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans do not enter, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the lost sheep of Israel, not the lost sheep of Judah. Judah and Israel were two separate nations of people, 10 tribes in the north, 11 tribes in the north, and one in the south. They were known as the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Notice the provinces here. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do not go to the Gentiles. Now, one more scripture for you and for your learning and for your instruction in the book of James, which we quoted earlier, that the Bible said in the last days that they would heap together treasure for the last days, as 3% of the world's population hold 97% of the world's wealth. And ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing fair or equal about that. James, verse 1, James 1 and 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Ladies and gentlemen, the 12 tribes went abroad. They were not Gentiles. They were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And today, tonight, Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call is calling for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you feel like that you are one of the lost sheep and that you are Israel, then you call Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me a letter, and we had tremendous response from our first maiden voyage, which was last Sunday night at 6 on WWCR, worldwide leader in shortwave. We're glad and honored to be on tonight, and we extend our salute to you, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. For this purpose, we come to minister, and we are seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So then, if you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284, that's 2284, New Tazewell, that's two words, N-E-W, T-S in Tiger, T-A-Z-E, W-E-L-L, New Tazewell, Tennessee, and the zip is 37824. That's all the address you need. Simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. If you'd like to call us on the phone after the broadcast, we will be available for the next hour for your calls. If you get voicemail, just leave your name and your telephone. We will call you back, and we appreciate you listening tonight. Well, my time is coming on. I'm going to have to go out. Until tonight at 11, we'll see you on The Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this crazy station. Praise Yahweh.